It's time for us now to look at some tech news, and we have Morris Michalowski with us. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks.
Good. Good to have you with us this morning.
Good to be back.
Now, you've got a few quick stories to talk about. Let's get some of these out of the way. First of all, you've got Apple's touchscreen netbook. Now, this is something that Apple at one stage said they wouldn't engage in after Microsoft said that they will announce Microsoft announced their big touchscreen notebook, you know, the one that that Bill Gates said this is going to be the next big thing, and it proved not to be.
I think he was ahead of his time. We're seeing a lot more of those touchbooks coming on. I saw one from Asus 2 days ago, their brand new one that'll be out in the market in a couple of months, and that looks like a sweet little thing. But anyway, Apple has finally, we're told, is finally going to enter the marketplace. Now, we know that through the back door, not through the front door, because some of their suppliers have said that they've started building them in Taiwan.
That's a giveaway.
They have announced it. And we're told it will be around the $800 mark US when it comes out, so a little bit above the marketplace, which is not unusual for Apple. And it'll have all the Apple features. It'll have the touch screens and the things that we're used to from the Apple environment now. So without seeing it, without knowing what it is, it looks like by October we should have something to look at.
Although I did see the other day that with the new operating system from Apple, you can actually draw on the touchpad. You can draw Chinese characters or something. It was quite. I thought, well, why don't they translate that to the screen? Although the touchpad makes more sense because that's where your hand is.
It does. It does. And the Asus one that I saw was a nice one. It's a tablet. You can actually fold it over. So you fold it over and the screen becomes the top. So it's kind of like having a clipboard in front of you. And you can then write on it. You can use your finger. You can flick. You know, you can do all the things that we're quite used to now from iPhones and other things on it. Looks like a nice little beast too.
Okay.
So that netbook market is the one that's opening up at the moment.
So don't buy a PowerBook yet or...
They're different things. PowerBook's really for the user who wants something with a bit more grunt.
Or MacBook,
you're going to use it a bit often, MacBook or whatever. This is for, I find it's more use for the portable. It's kind of like a bit bigger than a telephone, a bit smaller than your laptop. So if you want one of those things, if you travel a lot like I do, it's a great little thing to have. Horses for courses on this one.
Okay. And while we're talking about Apple, China's to get the iPhone without Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Oh, dear. And this is, I take it, a government insistence here.
It's absolutely. Now, the way that they're saying is that the Apple and the Chinese government have been heading each other off or eyeing each other off for a while, and Apple blinked.
Which is unusual, isn't it? It's not a company that blinks.
No, it isn't. But they blinked, is how they're saying.
Well, it's a lot of money to say no to, isn't it?
It is. And there was strong rumour that they were not going to get Wi-Fi for quite a while. The Chinese government just doesn't want to allow that into the marketplace yet. So it was basically a matter of do the best you can with what you've got. So they've applied for a licence at this stage to sell into China. And it looks like that'll come out in January. Again, nothing for sure on that, but that's the date that we're told most probably.
And would that be a license? Where are the iPhones made? Do you know, Morris? Do you know?
I don't.
Well, it's interesting, because if you've got another, you know, 1.2 billion people or so who might be after your product, you would imagine you have to really ramp up your production, presumably, in China as well.
I would think so, and I'm sure Apple would have that under control. And they're used to going out of stock anyway. It's whether the Chinese can cope with it or not. And we won't ask where they'll get some other prototypes from.
All right. Google Office, Microsoft is taking them on.
Yes. Now, we talked about Google last week, and there seems to be this war between the two of them. So it seems like Microsoft has said, look, if you're going to poach some of our turf, we're going to do the same to you guys. And we're going to release a version of our Office product online for free, which Google has through their Docs.
Yeah.
Now, that hasn't gone up yet, but we'll go up, we're told, within the next couple of weeks. So look for that war. And while we're on the war of the two of them going head-to-head, the other interesting thing, and I cannot fathom why, is Microsoft has said that they're going to open up retail shops.
Why can't you fathom why?
What are they going to sell apart from coffee?
Yeah, I guess so.
So,
well, they can't sell software though?
Well, they can, but do you really need a retail store for that with all the investment that goes into it? Now, they've poached some really big people to head this thing up. They've poached somebody out of DreamWorks and a couple of other big retailers, one out of Walmart. So they're putting some serious money behind it. They've also said, again, on the traps that there might be the opportunity to open up near some Apple stores. Now, I don't know whether you've seen the Microsoft equivalent of the iPod or the iShuffle. It's a nice thing, but it's just not going to sell in the same volume as an Apple store does. And Apple has that concept, you know, that concept store when you walk in. It's almost a destination itself. And not that Microsoft can't do it, but they're going to have to work really hard at building that concept store and having us have a purpose of going in there. And it's not to buy software, because we can do that through a whole lot of other places. places.
So they'll have lots of computers in there, presumably, from other makers showing their software on there.
You would imagine. And so I'm not quite sure.
A lot of people use Microsoft, don't they? I mean, it's 95% of the market or something.
This is true.
Even Mac users.
They do. But I'm at a loss to see why. But then again, Microsoft is far cleverer than I ever will be, so I leave it to them to figure it out.
They obviously have their reasons.
They would. They would.
Now, social media in the US, you've got this really interesting story, haven't you?
I think so. There's this 15-year-old teenage boy who was brought in as an intern. So as part of his schooling, he was given 2 weeks in a bank in the UK. And one of the assignments he was set by his mentor was to look at how social networking might apply in a banking situation. And being a 15-year-old, he really wasn't going to put himself to this task in any great way. He sat there with a pen, a piece of paper.
Which is unusual in itself.
It is, but I assume he was doodling or doing something else before he did this. And he wrote these words, and it says that he wrote these words on a scrap of paper and attached it to the file and sent it back. So what he said was, teenagers do not use Twitter. Which was interesting. Mm. He says, updating the microblogging service, which is what Twitter is, from mobile phones costs valuable credit. And his mates weren't going to pay for that. Makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Especially if you're going to Twitter 20 times a day. There
exactly.
goes your...
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing that he was saying, and I think this is profound, I mean, we all know it, but I don't know if anyone's been game enough to say it, is that who's really reading it anyway?
Mm.
So
do you Twitter?
I do.
And what do you put on your Twitter?
I'm an unusual Twitteree, because all I put on my Twitter are the articles and things that I'm reading that I think are interesting. So my Twitters are mostly links, because one of the questions I get asked most often from audiences and people around me is, where do you find your information? So whenever I find something interesting, I put it up there. So I'll invariably put up 6 or 7 of those articles a day, and occasionally some of my own thoughts.
Yeah, right.
But I don't do the I'm having coffee thing, because I'd like to think I'm interesting, but I don't think I'm that interesting.
So getting back to what this teenager mm-hmm. wrote, basically that kids won't pay.
They won't. And he went on to say that, his peers don't watch regular television.
Yep. Well, I knew that.
They would rather listen to advert-free music on websites.
Absolutely. Who can blame them?
And there's some great new websites coming up over the next little while. None are available in Australia or in Asia yet, but the Americans and Europe have some good ones.
Mm.
And even online, teens are going to buzz by online advertising. And they know how to do that really cleverly. Again, nothing over the top. But for a group of people that assume, which is the bankers, assume that this is not true, it was an eyeful for them.
Mm.
What he said was, their time and money is spent instead on cinema, in concerts, and buying video game consoles, because the video game consoles now double up as a communication, because through PS3 and Xbox you get onto the internet and can do all kinds of things with your mates. That's where their money's going.
With the ad-free business, the music, wanting to listen to music without ads, I wonder if they'd also want to listen to music without people talking at them, i.e. no announcers, just music streamed.
I think so. I think that is their preference. So, and again, we're seeing more and more of that coming online. My question always is, where's the business model around this? Not from the teenager's viewpoint, obviously, but from the person providing it. So we'll have to see where that is. There's got to be some balance between the two. What I think is interesting, and this is what I say to my commercial clients, is many of us think these social media spaces are inundated by the young'uns. And in fact, that's not true.
Mm-mm.
Now, these stats are new, so they're only about 2 months old, and they come from a range of people online. Now, LinkedIn, that great social network for business-to-business communication, the average user of LinkedIn is 40 years old.
Mm.
The average user of Twitter that we just spoke about is 31 years old.
Wow.
Mm.
The average user of MySpace is 27 years old, and the average user of Facebook is 26 years old.
Mm.
Those are the stats, cold, hard.
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all, knowing quite a few teenagers. None of them, a lot of them have Facebook profiles,
yes.
but they never check it.
No.
They don't have MySpace. These sorts of figures just don't surprise me at all.
They never check their Facebook
profile. No, and I've got nieces and nephews in that sort of teenage bracket, and I thought I was being really hip and, up with it and getting on Facebook to communicate with them, and I, requested to be their friends, and I never heard from any of them for, weeks.
Maybe they just don't like you, Barbara.
No, and I rung them on the phone and said, what's wrong with you? And they said, oh, Facebook, we never check that.
My daughter is surgically attached to Facebook.
Yeah, well, look, I'm Facebook. I sent a friend request to Bo Hill, who's our news presenter.
Mm-hmm.
Took about 5 days to get back and say, I'll be your friend. Okay, I accept your friend. I thought, she doesn't like me. We've got Tuesday. She hasn't answered. Wednesday. Hasn't answered.
And my internet is slow.
So that's the reason.
Yeah. All right, Morris, great to speak to you again. Thank you for that. Morris Michalowski, and Morris, your eye on the future.com is your your website. Now, that's a snappy website. We've said it before. Mm. MorrisYourEyeOnTheFuture.com. And that's Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S. Your Eye on the Future. Thanks for your time again today.
Pleasure. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Speak to you again in the next few weeks. Thank you very much, Morris.